Working to cleanse my guilt and pride. Blood of Christ the crucified.
Unleavened Bread Ministries presents
From your hands, your feet, your side.
Unleavened Bread Bible Studies with David Eales.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Pure as water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, O Jesus, I trust in you.
Greetings, saints. God bless you. Thank you for joining us today. Welcome back to the wilderness. Lord bless you. You know, we've been speaking a lot about a great falling away that's coming, and we know that the Word of God is preaching that. We don't want to dwell all on the bad news. There's some real good news of what God's going to do in restoring His body. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank You so much, Lord, for what You're going to do, Lord, that You're going to restore Your people unto the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ, as You've told us in Ephesians, Lord. We're so looking forward to the mighty miracle of God and the restoration of Your body and the coming together of Your body and the working of Your body in its many manifold gifts. Thank You, Father, for these things, Lord. Help us to have wisdom, Lord, to see what's happening and to be able to guide others to truth, Lord, and to not fall into the traps of Satan, Father. Thank You so much, Lord. Thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm going to back up just a little bit here, give you some foundation. The Lord's been confirming what we've been teaching for the last few days. He's been confirming by many very prophetic dreams and visions coming to us that are in agreement with these things. Now, I don't believe that we should make any doctrine or prophesy anything solely based on a dream or a vision, obviously. It has to be based on the Word of God. But as you can see, that's what we've been studying, and we're pointing out in the types and shadows exactly what's going to happen. You know, it's all there, folks. It's all in the Scriptures. It's all there. Now, I've been teaching these things for some years, but some of the people who are confirming these with dreams and visions haven't been in on this teaching. And so it's a definite confirmation. I'm going to share a couple of awesome dreams that are saying exact same thing as what we've been looking at in the Word. First, I want to remind you that history just keeps repeating on larger and larger scale with more and more people. We saw that the Roman Empire at one time, for instance, Emperor Constantine, had a very divided kingdom, much warring between the religious factions, and he decided, he got a revelation that he, of course, claimed was from God, but it wasn't. It was just a worldly thing. He decided to unite the religions. And, of course, what came of that, of all these famous leaders that he gathered together to sit at his round table, what came of that was the Catholic or universal church, right? And it brought some semblance of peace, but it totally destroyed what we know as Christianity because it just infiltrated it with all kinds of other foolish ideas and worldly, false religious things. And but today, folks, God is, as you know, from Daniel's vision, from the head all the way down to the toes being the end time revelation. If you look at this as a historic revelation and not just an end time, as an end time revelation, we're in the days of the toes. And so the Roman Empire has been with us all along. There's the iron in the toes, right? The iron, which was the Roman Empire back before the legs split on this image, back in the 300s, you know. Now we've got the iron in the toes. We still have the Roman Empire. And once again, in our day, this Roman Empire has decided that what Constantine had was a really, really good idea. So they're gathering together all the different facets of the religions of the world, targeting the famous leaders of religion, all the religions, actually, of the world. You know, there's very large organizations out there working on a world level. We've been talking for the last few weeks about the local Christian bringing together of a false prophet underneath the basically the same thing, the great eagle. Okay, but on a world level, you know, the United Religions is an organization that's bringing together a United Nations of religion under the UN. And the World Council of Churches, one's been with us for a long time. They've been working towards that end. And the Millennial World Peace Summit was one that they had back in the year 2000 that was to gather a permanent council of religious leaders to advise the UN on keeping the peace and preventing division and all these things. And, of course, that's exactly what Constantine did. Exactly what Constantine did. And as you know, under the Romans, in Jesus' time, there was a Sanhedrin whose job it was underneath the Romans to keep the peace. And you know what else they did? They crucified the body of Christ. Now, friends, it's happening again. You know, as a sign to Christians, we saw in 1 Corinthians 10 and 11 that everything that happens to the Jews is a type and a shadow for the Christians. Now, as a sign to the Christians, they just renewed the Sanhedrin to natural Israel. Okay? What's happening beside that? Well, there is a Roman Empire in these days coming together, the ten toes, and it basically looks like this. The U.S., over the UN, over the UR. This is the world, one world order that's coming together. Now, in America, there is a piece of this happening, just like in the rest of the world. These organizations are bringing together the rest of the world, and it's working for them, folks. It's really working. But in the United States, as I shared with you, a front man for the Council on Foreign Relations, the CIA, the Bilderbergers, is Reverend Moon. I use that term loosely, you know, as they use it in the world. Reverend Moon has targeted the mega churches and the mega personalities in Christianity that have a lot of influence, and he has targeted them for gifts and grants and buyouts of their debt and also a position of authority. He's offering to them, on behalf of this shadow government, a position of authority. Just what Constantine did. Just what the Sanhedrin had, by the way. You know why they decided they needed to get rid of the body of Christ? Because if they didn't, the Romans would come and take away their place. They didn't want to lose their position of authority. They didn't want to lose the money that was involved in this situation. You know how preachers are. They're pretty greedy in a lot of cases and lust after power. And so we see, coming right on down to our day, a repetition of history. See, the largest fulfillment, the greatest fulfillment of any prophecy is the last one. See, because why? Because now you're dealing with larger groups of people doing the exact same thing. Okay? So with that in mind, I want to share with you two very important, I believe, dreams that point this out. Remember, I'm not basing anything on these dreams. We've already taught this, in case you're coming in new here. We've already taught this from the Scriptures. We saw it from the Scriptures. But now I'm giving you a prophetic confirmation. Okay? It's just a confirmation. And some of you don't respect dreams, but that's your problem, not mine. I mean, the word is clear on what dreams are for. You know, I mean, Job made it very plain that it's to keep us back from the pit. You know, and God speaks once, yea, twice, though man regardeth it not. It's man that doesn't regard God's dreams, okay? And we know in Acts chapter 2 that God said that basically his saints would have dreams, okay? So I'm going to share this one with you. It's about the deception of the church in America. And basically what we've already seen, that these mega churches are going to come into a position of authority. These mega pastors, shepherds, are going to come into a position of authority over you and me. And it's not our fault. But anyway, listen to this. This was given to Marion Carney. And as far as I know, she hadn't sat in on any of this teaching. But guess when she received this? February the 29th of 08. We just passed that date in case you're looking at this down the road. Okay. And so it was a confirmation at the right time. Okay. Listen to it. I dreamt I was at my grandmother's old apartment complex with a few others. I came up the elevator and walked down the hallway to her apartment door. I could see that the door was already slightly opened, so I walked in. There wasn't anyone inside. And at first, and I walked over to the patio windows. Now I've already seen the whole dream, so the whole picture is really coming together for me, and I began to write out a little bit of interpretation here. I'll tell you what an apartment complex represents. Now, dreams, they're either usually all literal or they're usually prophetic, and you don't take bits and pieces and mix them that way, part literal, part prophetic. You know, this is all very prophetic. It's a symbol. It's symbolism, okay? The apartment complex represents joining house to house. The great unified corporate house of the harlot church in the United States is being represented here. Isaiah 5 and 8 says, "Woe unto them that join house to house and that lay field to field till there be no room, and you be made to dwell alone in the midst of the land. In mine ears, saith the Lord of hosts, of a truth many houses shall be desolate, even great and fair, without inhabitant." Notice that when Marion walked into this apartment complex, it was empty. At the beginning, there was nobody there. It was desolate. It was without inhabitant. And what an apartment complex is joining house to house. Now, what the government is doing right now, what the shadow government is doing right now, is the same thing Constantine did, the same thing that the Sanhedrin did. You know, the Sanhedrin is being raised up in Christianity just like it's being raised up in Israel, you see. Because we're at the end time, and these types and shadows are converging, you see. That was a corporate false prophet, the Sanhedrin was. A corporate false prophet. And in Constantine's time, same thing. And in our time, the same thing. A Sanhedrin of Christianity is being raised up. The government is using front men like this one to join together house to house. They want control over the church. They want control over religion because, let's face it, they're right. Religion causes all the wars and all the trouble in the world, you know. But obviously, true Christianity is not one of those, okay? But what we falsely call Christianity is. It's a big problem. It's a big trouble. It's going to cause wars, tremendous wars. For that, many Christians are going to be ostracized by the world, hated by the world, because let's face it, these mega churches are using their political power with the government to force them to go over there and fight. And I'm going to tell you, ultimately, it's going to cause the world to hate Christians. You wonder, what could have Jesus' words in Matthew 24 come to pass? That you'll be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Well, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen is because the Christians have left the commands of the Lord Jesus Christ and gone out on their own to do their own thing. And they're fighting with flesh and blood instead of principalities and powers. And something that the Lord Jesus forbid us to do. He only commanded us to love our enemies, and Christians won't obey. They won't obey. So they get caught up into worldly things. Well, that's what this apartment complex represents. A joining together of these ministries, the denominations. And guess what? There's going to be somebody that's going to be dwelling alone in the midst of the land. And who is that? The only people that aren't joining in with this thing, obviously, is the true people of God. But it doesn't mean persecution is not coming to the true people of God, okay? Because all Christians are going to get the rap for this thing, okay? She goes on. She says, "I noticed it was getting very windy outside. It was gray and raining just a bit. There was an old woman, that's an important term right here, in the parking lot below me, and she was caught in the wind. And the wind was so strong that it pushed her over. As I watched, the wind became stronger and stronger. She was really struggling to walk. The wind became so strong that it cracked the glass that I was looking out of. Okay, so notice the wind was on this old woman, and it was on this apartment complex. Okay, just as it cracked, the woman was picked up in the air by the wind and was being swept away. So the wind was cracking the window on the building and sweeping this woman away. What God is showing us here is a parallel revelation. Okay, I'll share it with you in just a minute. An old man then appeared and was trying to help the woman, but the wind was too strong for them both, and they were lifted up in the air several feet off the ground. And when they were lifted up, the wind blew them around the side of the building and out of my view. I then backed away from the window because the other side of the glass was cracking too. Well, let me share something with you. The old woman here represents the same thing as the apartment complex. It represents the old apostate church. You know, it's old because from the time of Christ, there's been a falling away from what those apostles received from Jesus Christ. It's old under the curse. You know, age is a manifestation of the curse, is it not? It's old under the curse. And the woman and the building is going to come under increasing wind of false doctrines by their deceiving leaders, which is represented by the old man who tried to help the woman. Okay, Ephesians 4 and 14, listen to this. It says that we may be no longer children. See, even though you can be old, you can still be a child. And, you know, Don Led is here visiting us, and he was reminding me of a vision years ago about babies with beards. You know, they've been with the Lord a long time, but they still haven't matured. That's bad. But it says that we may be no longer children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Many people are being carried around by the winds this way and that way, and they don't have control over their faculties. It says, it goes on to say, by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, in craftiness, after the wiles of error. See, the old man that rules in the apostate church, and when I speak of the old man, I'm talking about the carnal man, the fleshly man. The Bible calls him the old man. I had a vision I've already shared with you about being carried by the tornado. Which represents the power of God, to a ministry here in Florida when I moved here. And it actually happened that way, not physically, but spiritually. And the first thing I saw was an old man in a church trying to clean up the babies with the water, and he was killing the babies. And I've already shared that. But, the old man is a deceiver. He has no right. He has no ministry in the church. The only thing he can pass on is what he is, and that is a lost old man, you see. And the only one that really has a right to teach in the church is the Holy Spirit. You have no need that any man should teach you, but you have an anointing from the Holy One. And as long as a teacher or a pastor or a preacher is being used of the Holy Spirit to speak the truth in agreement with the Word of God, then you're not learning from man. You are learning from the Holy Spirit, right? But he must be a vessel through whom the Holy Spirit can flow freely. This house, which is also receiving this wind of doctrine, is going to be destroyed by the winds of the beast and the false prophets' doctrines. Okay, Matthew 7 and 26 says, "And everyone that heareth these words of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man who built his house upon the sand, and the rains descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and smote upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall thereof. The house that we know as apostate Christianity, the gathering together in these end times of house to house, of joining in unity all of the religions of Christianity, and also ultimately all of the religions of the world, that house is going to fall. And it's not going to last very long. From the time that they have what they consider to be perfecting it, it won't last very long until it's on the ground, folks. Okay, Marion went on. She says, I turned around with the intent to go and help the older people. She had an intent to help these people. Okay, listen. And when I did, there were two men at a small table that resembled a small fold-out card table. So she turned around. The building was empty, but she turned around and she saw this vision in front of her of a very temporary card table and two men sitting at the card table. It was placed directly in the middle of the room. And on the table was a teapot and a teacup made of porcelain. Inside of this cup was writing inscribed all around the inside, kind of like a measuring cup would be. Uh-huh. So for measuring levels in the cup, right? The man who had the teapot in his hand poured the man who was sitting down some of his tea. He filled the small cup up to one of the inscriptions and nodded for the man to drink it. The man drinking the tea didn't know that he was actually being deceived, as the words that were inscribed in the cup were actually words of a ritual. And every time the man filled the cup to a different level, the man was partaking of a ritual. You know, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, the Bible says, you know. And basically, the unity underneath the world of God's people is rebellion and it's witchcraft. And it's under the harlot, you understand? Okay. She said, I tried telling the man sitting down not to drink the tea, that he was being deceived. However, they could not hear me. The man served him two more times. And the last one, the cup was measured one line from being completely filled to the top. So he was giving him a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more of deception. Now this is what's going on, folks, with the mega church ministries. The beast is bringing them, as we've seen, Ezekiel 17 and Ezekiel 19 speaks of them capturing the leadership of God's people. And so this is what's going on. A little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more deception until the cup was almost filled. And as the man drank from the cup, the other man who was serving him smiled. And then I awoke. So he was bringing them totally into deception. Now listen to this. Those leaders who do not listen to the warnings of God, and they've been coming all along through God's prophets, but they have a fleshly investment here. They're being bribed, like in Constantine's day, the same in this day. They're being bribed with promises of authority and power and money. Okay? The leaders who do not listen to God's warnings concerning this are going to have greater deception measured back into them from the beast than what they meted out to the apostate church. You know what? The universal law is whatsoever man sows, so shall he reap. You know, even the devil believes he can win this thing. People think, well, hadn't the devil read the book? Doesn't he know the end of the book? What's wrong with him? Why don't he just give up now, you know? No, he really believes. He sows deception and he reaps deception. He really believes he can win this thing, you see. And there are people that think that they can prosper, even going contrary to God's word, because they walk by sight. They've been able to get away with it so far. So they think they'll just go a little deeper, a little deeper, a little deeper. But they're partaking of more and more and deeper deception. Okay. And the beast, let's face it, folks, the beast is not a man. The scriptures is very plain that the beast is a spirit. It's a spirit from the pit. that inhabits man. Antichrist is not a man. Read 1 John 4. Antichrist is a spirit that lives in man. It's the unregenerate spirit that's in man that's been replicated by the spirit of the devil. That's why they're sons of the devil, is because they have the same fallen spirit, you see. So this beast has the ability to deceive those that God is not keeping. He has the ability because he is a spirit. They are very intelligent. Although it's corrupt intelligence, it's still intelligence. And they are bringing deception to these people because they don't love the truth. That's the reason. Okay, Mark 4 and 23. Let me read this to you. If any man hath ears to hear, now obviously these people didn't because they couldn't hear the warning, okay? Let him hear. And he said unto them, take heed what you hear, for with what measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you. That's exactly what we're seeing in this dream. It's being measured back unto these preachers, this deception, this delusion. They have measured it out. They have sold the people unto them into bondage as a harlot to the beast. They are selling them into bondage, just like those religious leaders in Constantine's day and in Jesus' day. They were selling their people into bondage for the sake of advantage. You see, with what measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you, and more shall be given unto you. So they actually received more deception than what they were handing out. Okay? For he that hath, to him shall be given. Hath what? Hath eyes and ears. That's in the text, that's what he's talking about. Shall more be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. You wonder, how could these so-called men of God be caught into such a delusion, such a deception? Because they've been baited, like we saw in Ezekiel 19. They've been baited with hooks, and the bait is something that they lusted after. They lusted after power. They lusted after money, authority, prestige. And this is what the beast is offering, and that's what Constantine offered. Okay? But God says even what they did have is going to be taken from them. Even the discernment, the wisdom, the anointing, it's all going to be taken from them. Those who walk in the steps of the Sanhedrin to crucify the body of Christ will have the beast to measure it back unto them. In Matthew 23 and 30. And say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we should not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore, you witness to yourselves that you are sons of them that slew the prophets. What makes us sons of, in the New Testament, what makes us sons of anybody? It is to walk in their steps. That's what makes you a spiritual son of someone. We don't pass on our heritage through flesh anymore. A Jew in the Old Testament, you became a Jew by nature. It was passed on through the flesh. But in the New Testament, we pass it on through a nature, through a word, through a teaching, through a revelation. We pass this on to other people. Now, what makes us a son of Jesus Christ? A spiritual father of eternity, Isaiah calls him. Well, the Bible says, you know, let everyone that says they abide in him walk as he walked. So if you walk as Jesus walked, that makes him your spiritual father. And if you walk as Judas walked, that makes him your spiritual father. There are a lot of Judases out there. These people are Judases. They are like a he-goat leading the flock to slaughter. And what does he say? Well, wherefore you witness to yourselves that you are sons of them that slew the prophets. In other words, they're sons of the Pharisees. They're sons of the Sanhedrin. They're walking in their steps. They're forming the same kind of a harlot leadership, a false prophet leadership that's going to lead God's people down a road. Not anybody that's not guilty, by the way. The people that are following them are just as guilty. They love the truth just about as much as they do. So they're following them. But here's what Jesus said. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers. Wow. There it is again. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers. In other words, they're going to drink fully of the cup that their fathers drunk. Verse 33, you serpents, you offspring of vipers, how can you escape the judgment of hell? Therefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes. And some of them you shall kill and crucify, and some of them you shall scourge in your synagogues, and persecute from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth. Do you know that this Sanhedrin, this false prophet leadership that has sold the harlot into bondage, these people are going to persecute the true saints in our day just exactly the way they have throughout all of history. They walk in the steps of this false prophet leadership. The people follow them. They're going to persecute the righteous. See, history just keeps repeating. It just happens in bigger and bigger ways all the time. The things that have been are the things that shall be. The things that have been done are the things that shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun. You see, this is how we know true prophecy, because it repeats what's happened in the past. Everybody walks in the steps of their fathers. Let's face it, when Israel was first mentioned in the Old Testament, it spoke of a man. And thereafter, when it was spoken, it spoke of a body. When Moab was first spoken of, it spoke of a person. Later, it was spoken of a body. See, you see, today, there is a body of Christ. It's a corporate body. Started out a man, an individual, you see. Now, Antichrist is the same way. The Bible tells you Antichrist is everyone whose spirit does not confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. See? So, there are people walking in the steps of their father. Just like on a natural level, people walk in the sins of their fathers because it's passed on to them through the blood, right? We've got a new blood, folks. We got Jesus Christ's blood. It's been passed on to us because we have his nature now by faith. You see? Well, fill ye up then the measure of your fathers, he said. Well, of course, we want to pray, folks. We don't want to see this happen. We want to see God bring deliverance. We want to see the Pauls come forth out of these people. We want to see the Nicodemuses, the Joseph of Arimathea's. We want to see that, and we pray for that. But let's face it, it's going to happen. There has to be a crucifixion, and God's going to use vessels of dishonor to do that. He's gathering together this harlot body in order to persecute the true saints and bring them to maturity. God's got methods for doing things, and he hadn't changed them. They're still the same as they always were. Well, these false prophets and those who follow them are being bribed by their lusts into strong delusion that will cost many their eternal life. Not only them, but the people that follow them. 2 Thessalonians 2:8. Some of you know it by heart. And then shall be revealed the lawless one, the son of perdition, right? Who was the son of perdition? Judas Iscariot in Jesus' day was the son of perdition. Sop, S-O-P, son of perdition. He ate the sop, and he was the son of perdition. And what happened? Satan entered into him. And who was he? Everybody says he's Antichrist. No, wait a minute, folks. More particularly, he was the Antichrist in the body. See, Antichrist is all over the world. But there is also an Antichrist in the body, and that's who the son of perdition represents. Well, we're told, then shall be revealed the lawless one, whom the Lord Jesus shall slay with the breath of his mouth, and bring to naught by the manifestation of his coming. Even he whose coming is according to the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceit of unrighteousness, for them that perish because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God sends them a working of error, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be judged who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You see, God is sending a deception to weed the church of those people who do not love truth. And what is the deception? Sons of perdition. Judases. You remember who Judas was? He was one of the 12. He was in on the leadership, folks. But he was a part of the leadership that was Judas. The one who betrayed, what? The body of Christ. See, because Jesus represented something in his day. He represents, you see, he took up his cross to lose his old life. And he told us we couldn't walk in his steps. We couldn't be his disciples unless we did the same thing. So you see, he represented something that was going to be multiplied down the road. You see, now there's a crucifixion coming. And God needs his sons of perdition to do that. And he needs his harlot body. And he needs his beast. Just like he had in Jesus' day, the Roman beast, the harlot of Israel, and the son of perdition, they all work together to crucify the body of Christ. And we, let's face it, it has to happen. Okay, and I'm not talking about physical crucifixion. I'm talking about a spiritual crucifixion of self, the old man. Not saying that some won't die. They will die. But there has to be the crucifixion of the old man. And this persecution, of course, we have to cooperate with God in the midst of. But the deception that these leaders are drinking of, they have deceived their people for the sake of advantage, and now they're going to drink of the full cup of this deception. Another dream, okay, that came 3 days after that dream for Mary. Listen to it. I dreamt a very short dream where I was with a handful of others who were preparing for 2 major earthquakes. I knew that we would survive the first earthquake. However, I knew that the second earthquake was going to be more destructive. And I was looking down at the ground trying to determine where the earthquake would take place. And I was really calculating where it was to take place. And I showed the others and told them to prepare for the second earthquake and that it was going to be a bad one. Well, now, what's an earthquake? In the scriptures, what does an earthquake represent? If you see it spiritually as a type and a shadow, what does it represent? Do you know that in Revelation chapter 16, there was a great earthquake, the greatest earthquake, because it was the greatest since men have been upon the earth, the scripture says. And this earthquake, when it happened, it divided the great city of Babylon into 3. And I read that one day, and suddenly the Lord spoke to me. Babylon is world Babylon. And the great city being divided into 3 is the division in the world beast that causes a civil war. You know, every time the beast has come against God's people, he has split them into 3. Basically, the king of the north, king of the south, and kings of the east. So what does this earthquake represent? It represents something. An earthquake divides the earth, you see. It's a great division in the earth. In other words, not just the earth, but the people of the earth were divided into 3 camps here. Why? Because they had persecuted God's saints. And every time that happens, there is a Valley of Jehoshaphat type war here, you see. They came 3 companies as one, and God divided them, and they killed each other off. Well, there's a big division coming, you see. And why? I'm telling you why. Because this false prophet leadership is leading the harlot and is being used of the beast to persecute the saints. And is going to use the beast to persecute the saints. So, this division is a division of peoples, okay? As Revelation 16, 18, and 19 shows us. Such a division is coming between the beast and the apostate false prophets that they gathered together unto them. This we saw very plainly in Ezekiel 17. They gathered together the leadership of God's people, brought them into a covenant. In the middle of the covenant, this leadership broke the covenant, covenant, made war against Babylon, and were destroyed. You say that's going to happen in America? That's going to happen in America. That is a prophecy of what's going to happen to Babylon, the great eagle at the head of the one world empire, the head of the image of the beast, Daniel chapter 2, Daniel chapter 3, the image of gold and the eagle are the same thing. You know, Babylon had the eagle. Hitler had the eagle. The Roman Empire had the eagle. America's got the eagle. What do we got here? A repetition of history. Okay? And what did Hitler do? And what did Rome do? They persecuted the saints. See? The same thing is going to happen. And because of this, division between the false leadership and the beast, the beast entity, you know I'm talking about, the government here in the United States is a beast entity, but the whole world is a beast entity too. Everybody outside of Christ is a member of the beast. You're either a member of Christ or you're a member of Antichrist. You belong to one body or the other. You're either for me or you're against me. There's only two men in the earth, Jesus said, basically. Okay? So you're either Christ or Antichrist. And these two are going to be at war, you see. Well, that's the first division between the leadership and the beast. Because remember, there was two earthquakes, and the second one was much more destructive, right? The second division was much more destructive. Well, because of this second more destructive division, there will be a civil war in the nation of America. And exactly what is taught in Ezekiel 17. Okay, civil war in the nation of Babylon, the great eagle. It was called the great eagle with great wings there, you see. And this will also weaken America for an invasion at the time of the separation of the nations, because Russia and China are going to lead the rest of the beast kingdom against America. It's going to be very destructive. See, the first earthquake wasn't as bad, but the second one is going to be much, much worse. And so this division, this civil war, is going to cause a civil war. The civil war is going to enable China and Russia to walk in here and do what they want to do. And why would God do that to America? Are you crazy, David? Well, I'm going to tell you why. You're not there yet, and you'll understand it when you get there, but I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. America is going to persecute the saints, just like the great eagle persecuted the saints and brought them into bondage. It's going to happen. Some of you are mad at me now, I can tell. Listen, we're not to be ruled by any spirit of patriotism. Our allegiance isn't to any kingdom of this world. We don't belong to any kingdom of this world. Our kingdom is the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. If your total allegiance is not to Him, you're going to fall with this world. Come out from among them and be ye separate. Listen, every nation out there's got patriotism. That's why they fight for their nation. It's a spirit that brings about war against one another. Destruction. The two spirits that have destroyed the earth with wars. Religion and patriotism. If you are a Christian, you come out from among them and be separate. You now belong to a new kingdom. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight that I would not be delivered." No, we don't fight with the world. We don't fight against the world. We're joining in the devil's warfare when we do that. We do what the Lord Jesus commanded. We love our enemies. We share the gospel with them. We bring them into our kingdom. Okay? Where there is no war, except a spiritual war against principalities and powers. Okay? So this civil war is going to bring devastation in the United States. And it's going to also bring destruction to those people who war against Babylon, because God warned them in Jeremiah 27 not to war against the king of Babylon. Submit to him. Bring your neck under his yoke, or I will use him to destroy you. And that was Hezekiah and his leadership at that time. It's the same thing we see in Ezekiel 17, same story. They didn't obey God. They didn't obey Romans 13, which says there is no government but of God. See, now we don't have to obey them when it comes to the mark of the beast, but we don't have to fight. We can just say no. I just say no, you know. But you don't have to fight. You don't have to kill. You don't have to join in their war, right? I got to read the rest of this before we run out of time here. And there was a pretty big house over to the left of me that was on poles. It looked like one of those homes that are on a lake or a beach. However, under this home, there was a lot of dirt. And I tell you what, folks, under this house, this is talking about the same house that we've been talking about, the apostate, unified house of apostate Christianity. There's a lot of dirt under there. It's all founded on dirt, you know. And, spiritually speaking, you know. And it will be known for that. It will all the things that are, there's nothing hidden that will not be revealed. And all of you preachers out there that are mad at me right now that have joined in this thing to join the harlot to the beast, I mean, it's all going to be known. It's all going to be known. She said, I was standing outside the house, determining where a safe area would be for us. In other words, because there was a division coming. There was an earthquake coming. Where do you hide? You know, where's God's provision? The others were preparing for the earthquake inside the house. And I explained to them that for an earthquake, you come out of the house. And I explained how that the house could fall on them. Yeah, if you understand what this house represents, yes, it will, right? However, they were looking for items to take cover in, like the tub or in a basement, as if they were preparing for a tornado rather than for an earthquake. And I was desperately trying to get them out of the house, but they would not listen. There it is again. They would not listen. The dream ended with me speaking with a man who was sitting on some bricks in the area where I was pinpointing the first earthquake would be. Well, this pretty big house on poles, which is not founded on the rock, by the way, of the Word of God, and could fall on the people in this division, is the apostate corporate house that we've been talking about. And it's, of course, led by the newly formed Sanhedrin of mega church preachers that they're being targeted by the CIA and the CFR right now. There's absolutely no doubt about it, folks. It's been documented time coming and going. Their money dealings and the money going back and forth, it's all documented. Matthew 7 and 26 says, And everyone that heareth these words of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And obviously a pole house, that's what they do. You know, it's on the beaches and so on and so forth. And they do that to escape the water. But it don't do necessarily any good for an earthquake. Okay. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and smote upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall thereof. And this house that's being built by apostate Christianity is going to fall, and great is going to be the fall thereof. And Revelation 17 and 16 says, And the ten horns which thou sawest, and the beast, these shall hate the harlot, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and shall burn her utterly with fire. You know, the beast is never like the harlot. They only use the harlot. They only need political power over the people. They only need for the people to stop warring with one another. You see, that's what they need. Well, the harlot is going to be bribed into a unity, but it's going to be short-lived. When they're crying peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child. Well, this way of escape is obviously just what Marion said. Come out of the house. It will fall on you. Come out and be separate, says the Lord. It's the only way of escape. When there's an earthquake, you get out of a house, right? Well, the man sitting on the pile of bricks represents the total division of this house, you know, that was built. This Tower of Babel that's been built is once again going to be confounded by God and divided by God and destroyed by God. In Revelation 18 and 2, and he cried with a mighty voice, saying, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, and has become a habitation of demons, and a hold of every a hold actually is the word cage. Did you know? It's the same word for cage. Actually, it has the equivalent word in Ezekiel 19. We saw that they baited the leadership of God's people with a hook and bait and put them in a cage. That word is the equivalent Hebrew word for this Greek word, cage, okay? And it's become a habitation of demons and a cage of every unclean spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, this is verse 4, "Come forth, my people, out of her, that you have no fellowship with her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues." In other words, so that the house don't fall on your head. Come out, right? Same thing Marion's dream said. "And have no fellowship with her sins, that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached even unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Render unto her even as she rendered, and double unto her the double according to her works. In the cup which she mingled, mingle it unto her double." There it is. "With what measure you meet, it will be measured unto you again." Neat the way the Lord's done that. Well, you know, some of these same preachers have been preaching. In fact, it was brought up here recently that the Catholic Church is the harlot. But you see, when history repeats, it always repeats on a larger scale. Now, the Catholic Church came from a joining together of apostate leaders of religion in Constantine's day. And it was the universal church of that day. But folks, the one that's being built today is not that one at all. They're joining together the religions of today to be the universal church, and Catholicism is only one of those. So while they're expecting the Pope to show up and rule over everybody, the truth is going to be happening right under their nose, because they've been looking at the letter and not understanding how God repeats history in larger ways. He's not going to repeat it the same way. It's going to be larger. It's going to be greater. It's going to be a grander deception. And it's going to cover the whole world. Well, this bondage, God's going to do something about it. You know, there's a Moses coming. Moses brought judgment after judgment upon the Egyptian beast because it held God's people in bondage. And what did Moses say? "In the name of the Lord, the word of God came through him. Set my people free that they may serve me in the wilderness." Come out of the house and run into the wilderness. There's the only place of safety. It's the only place you can serve God. And the wilderness is the place of learning to trust in God as your Savior. And obviously, you don't have all the accoutrements of Babylon in the wilderness, but it's a place of safety. It's a place where God's going to teach. He's going to train. It's the place where John the Baptist was. It was the place where Jesus was. It was the place where the people came out to listen to their teaching. Now, you may have to sit on a rock with Jesus rather than on a nice plush pew in one of your mega churches that's been joined by a 501c3 to the government. But if you got to come out, you got to come out. You want the building to fall on your head? Well, then come out. Come out from among them and be separate, because Jesus did that. He came unto the apostate religions of his day and he said, "Come out and follow me." And he went into the sheepfold and they followed him out of all those denominations of Judaism. And in these days, folks, you gotta come out. It's gonna fall on your head. Don't be a partaker of the plagues that come upon Babylon. Come out of that thing. It doesn't resemble Christianity in the first place. It does not resemble Christianity. Read your Bible. You can give this book to a child on the street and they'll read it and tell you that something's wrong. Well, that was a neat dream. I like that. Good confirmation of what we've been studying. And I guess we'll carry on with this by the grace of God, if He says so, the next time. And thank you so much for joining us. God bless you. And please, if you're mad at me, pray about it, okay? God bless you. Thank you so much. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this time of coming together in your Word. We can see what the Word is saying, Lord, that history's about to be repeated. Lord, don't let us be trapped by delusion. Give us a love for the truth so that we won't come under the curses that the harlot is going to come under. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. God bless you.
For information, materials, and to contribute, go to www.americaslastdays.com. Contributions only may be addressed to David Eales, Post Office Box 23, 1616, Montgomery, Alabama, 36123.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Pure as water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. Guiding light, the shining rays of red.